Turn around, lay your hands on the home missionary beside you or behind you. Let's pray together right now. We need a move of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It's time to get fired up. It's time to get fueled up. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody said it a long time ago, and it wasn't a preacher. But he said, you can't heat an oven with snowballs. You cannot heat an oven with snowballs. You are going, in all likelihood, to produce what you are. A man that many of you have studied said, you teach what you know. You reproduce what you are. If you want a dead church, all you got to do is be dead. You want a church that won't back the preacher? You don't back the preacher. You want a church that shouts when somebody's preaching? You got to shout. You want a church that prays and is on fire? You got to pray and be on fire. You can teach what you know, but you reproduce what you are. And we are here to get something from the Holy Ghost. Amen. And what an atmosphere and what an environment and what an opportunity is given to you. 17 years ago, I attended a Christmas for Christ home missionary training seminar as a home missionary. I can tell you that I personally had never heard of the concept of teaching home Bible studies to reach the lost. As I sat in a seminar being taught during the day, just like you're having here, Brother Jack Yance was the speaker. Brother Yance introduced me to the idea of teaching home Bible studies and winning the lost to the Lord. I left that meeting and went home, and within a few short months, my wife and I had won over 50 people to the Lord through teaching home Bible studies. Many of them are the leaders of our church today. I want to tell you that revival is not going to come to your city from somebody else. You can't hire enough evangelists to reach your city. You can't bring in enough programs. It's going to come out of you. Do you missionaries believe that? No saint in your church is going to bring revival to your church. No district official will bring revival to your church. It's going to come out of you. Out of your anointing, out of your relationship with God, out of your call of God, out of the depth of your burden, out of the depth of your vision, out of your experience in the prayer room. I say right now is the time for us to get what we need from God so we can leave here, go home, and set our church on fire. Everybody said yes. I want to try to encourage you tonight, but I want to challenge you a little bit there. I want to encourage you. If the Lord will allow me tonight, I'd like to encourage every home missionary here in the Lord and in the work of the Lord to do the will of God and to find direction for your ministry. Turning to the book of Acts, chapter number 3, let me say thank you for the kind invitation to be here. I do love home missions. I still feel as a home missionary, I don't ever intend for our church to get old. I don't ever intend to get old myself. I don't ever intend to settle down, dry up. rot out and rust away. It's too much fun to be on fire for God and have revival. And I just am excited about being here and having an opportunity to rub shoulders with firebrands, people that are on fire for God. Visionaries, people of faith, people of positiveness, people that are interested in a world that's lost, interested in growth. And I praise God for the privilege tonight. I want to give honor to Brother Cunningham. What a tremendous leader he is in our fellowship. God is using him so marvelously to assist in revival, the building of churches, the encouragement of the ministry. I cannot say enough good things about Brother Jack Cunningham's leadership, what he means to all of us in the United Pentecostal Church. Not just leadership, but work ethic. He is the hardest worker I've ever met. And of course, the only place you find success before work is in the dictionary. And it doesn't matter how you can preach, this is all about work. It's all about working for God. And I can't say enough about him. And not only is he a mighty leader and a great man of God, he is a true friend. And Brother Mark Foster, who is a true friend for many, many years. And of course, most people know our relationship. And Brother Farino, and all of these that are on the platform tonight, mighty men of God and in front of me. What a church we're in tonight. Amen. Clap your hands for the United Pentecostal Church. I give honor to our district superintendents that are here. May God bless them and strengthen them as they lead their respective areas in growth and in revival. Acts chapter 3. Thank you, Brother Goddard, for the privilege of ministering in your pulpit to your church. It's a beautiful, beautiful environment here for revival. And I'm very happy to be here. Acts chapter number 3. I simply want to try to encourage home missionaries tonight. I am preaching a message. I told Brother Foster as I was preparing this afternoon that I have only briefly touched in my home church. And while I was on the plane on the way over here, the Lord seemed to impress me that I would preach this tonight, and I couldn't get away from it. And it's not exactly what I would probably like to preach, but it's what I feel to preach. That's a good man right there. And I need you to help me tonight. Last night, I preached to you. I tried to stir you. Tonight, I'm going to preach for you. And I'm going to try to encourage you. And I'm not, unless the Lord just comes in here and directs me differently, I'm just going to try to encourage you tonight. One special area of encouragement that every missionary at some time in your ministry is going to need some help in. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." You know, I appreciate the fact as I read the scripture that the Bible said Peter and John went up, would you say, together? And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John. It wasn't a one-man show. It was not a one-man show. Peter and John were together, fastening his eyes with John. We need each other. We really need the body of Christ. One of the greatest things we get when we come into the church is not fire insurance from hell or eternal security for heaven. But have you ever thought one of the greatest things we get is the church? I don't know whether you what it means to you, what it means to me, but I love this church. I love preachers. I love saints. Every preacher said, I love saints. I love saints. Let me hasten on here. Verse 5, speaking of the lame man, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Sounds like revival. When they start leaping, walking, first of all, they got to stand. When they stand, they leap, they walk, they enter the temple, they're praising God. Sounds like revival. But the Bible said the lame man was carried to the gate of the temple daily. I want to preach tonight just to try to encourage on the subject. Carrying cripples till the miracle comes. Carrying cripples till the miracle comes. Put your Bibles down, would you please? Give the Lord a strong hand clap. And you may be seated. Someone said, and it's been recorded that they said it, that Christianity is a crutch. They have said Christianity is a crutch. My response to that is this: if Christianity is a crutch, then the whole world is crippled. But true Christianity is more than a crutch. True Christianity is a healing touch. This is something that doesn't give you a mere object to lean on. It gives you power not to have to lean. It gives you the strength of a miracle touch from Almighty God. How many really believe Bible salvation is a miracle? Real Bible salvation is a miracle. I must remind you tonight that the Scripture states the whole have not need of the physician. The whole have no need of the physician. And we must very fundamentally and at the very outset of our approach to establishing a work for God and a building of a church comprehend that we are called to minister to the cripples of our society. Every man of God is called to preach to the cripples. Those that are the victims of a fall. The entire human race was crippled in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve fell into sin. We are ministering to cripples. We've got to get that in the very fiber of our ministry, in the very heart of our existence. They will not walk through the door of your church with lives comparable to the saints of the established churches. But you are called to minister to cripples. You are called to preach to cripples. Home missionary, they're not going to walk through the doors of your church and say, "Oh, it's Missionary Sunday. It's time to give a portion of my hard-earned money to missionaries that I don't know and have never seen." They're not going to walk through the doors of your church and say, "Oh, I don't need you to preach on holiness. I'm already living that way." They're not going to walk through the doors of your church and just automatically initiate their relationship with God and start paying their tithes. They're not coming in ready-made saints. As a matter of fact, they are coming in more complex, more complicated, and more crippled than the ministry that has gone before us has ever seen by their own admission. We are dealing with a pitiful, pathetic generation that is extremely crippled by sin. When they come in, they will come, and they will be extremely crippled. You're going to preach to those who cannot stand for God. You're going to preach to those who are not walking for God. You're going to minister to people who won't leap for God. You're going to be preaching to those who don't know how to praise God. And they certainly don't hold to the ministry. I have just described everything that the Bible said the lame man did after he got a miracle from Jesus Christ. But when they walk in, they're going to be far from that. But you are christened, called, anointed, and chosen to carry the cripples until the miracle comes. And the Bible said in Isaiah 35, speaking of the Messiah, when He would come, it said, "Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong and fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. And when He comes," the Bible said, "the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame leap as an hart." I'm preaching to you. You're going to a crippled city, but you're taking a Jesus that will cause the lame to leap as a hart and rejoice and serve Almighty God. Can you clap your hands to the Lord right now? Hey, you're bringing good news to your city. We're bringing the gospel. We're not bringing bad news. We're bringing good news. The drug addict can be delivered. The alcoholic can be set free. The marriage that's about to be divorced can be reunited. You're coming to your city to bring redemption. Clap your hands to Jesus right now. The greatest struggle you're going to have is in the area that I approach tonight by the Word of God. Because you will not be there alone until you will begin to feel that all you have in your church is a bunch of cripples. Every home missionary experiences that. After you've been there a little while and you begin to see the congregation you're putting together that's coming through your doors, you'll go visit somebody's revival. You'll go visit some other established church. And you'll look at them, and then you'll come back to your church. And if you're not careful, you'll get very discouraged. And the devil will tell you there'll never be a church here. All you've got is a bunch of cripples. I'll never forget one Sunday morning driving out of the church in Raleigh after we'd been there a year or two. It seems like, and I've always heard it, and I know it's true by experience, that when you turn the lights on, the bugs come. And every United Pentecostal church is invaded with all kinds of weird, unusual people. And there's nothing more disheartening, discouraging, and embarrassing than for these kind of people to fill your church. Especially when you have distinguished guests to come minister. I could tell you a lot of stories here. But I'll limit this remark just to simply give you this illustration. One Sunday morning after church, we'd been infiltrated with these kind. Pathetic people, pitiful people, unlearned people, ignorant people, crazy people. Funny looking people, funny smelling people, funny dressing people. Weird people. Cripples. And I got very discouraged about these cripples. So we were driving out of our parking lot on a Sunday morning. I stopped right in the road, and there was our sign, church sign. First United Pentecostal Church, Pastor Wayne Huntley, where good things always happen. We stopped in the road, and my wife said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Look at that sign." I said, "Tonight I think I'm going to change it before church. That sign needs to be changed." She said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "It needs to read, First United Nut House, Warden Huntley." I said, "This isn't a church, it's a funny farm." And every ignorant thing in your city, when you open those doors, is going to fill that auditorium. And the devil's going to do his best to discourage you and make you feel like there'll never be a church here. All you're preaching to is a bunch of cripples. Matter of fact, one Wednesday night in a Bible study, I told our church, I said, "You know what? I don't know. I know the gospel's for everybody." And I said, "Some of you folks, I need to tell you that it's all right to invite people to this church that have brains. Some of you have the concept that brains are not allowed here." I said, "You go out and one of the qualifications for inviting folks to this church is whether they got any brains or not. I want to tell you, anybody can come to church here. But after a while, you're going to feel like there's no use in me even trying. All I got's a bunch of cripples. And you'll become ashamed of them if you're not careful. You'll get intimidated by them. And you'll be embarrassed when you have meetings at your churches. Because some of them will come in with their shorts on. And they'll come in with their jewelry on. And they'll come in with the world on them. And the devil will tell you you're nothing at all. And you'll never do a work for God. But your mission is simply this. You've got to carry those cripples until the miracle comes." Now, I'm going to try to help you here tonight. Some of you battle compromising. You are so afraid you're going to compromise that you're almost scared of people. The man that knows what he believes and knows why he believes hadn't got anything to worry about. And the worst thing you can do to help your cause in a home missionary church is invite preachers from another part of the country who pastor old mainline established churches and try to impress them with your congregation. Their messages most of the time won't even relate to where your church is, and they'll usually cost you about half your congregation. And you're always telling everybody, "Now, I'm not compromising. And I promise,
I'm not compromising. Anybody knows that if you embrace what's been in the pig pen, you're going to smell sometimes like a pig. The Father, the Bible said, embraced His Son who had just come out of a pig pen. And you can't embrace that which has been in the pig pen without smelling up a little bit yourself. But somebody's got to love their city and love the souls enough that they're not afraid of what somebody's going to say to them or about them. I'm going to carry my cripples until the miracle comes. Hallelujah. My Lord, help us, Jesus. Pray right now. Jesus, help us. You don't need to preach a holiness message to them when they're just in their second service or just beginning to come to church. The main thing you're interested in right now in the beginning of a church is people. Just people. Loving people. Praying for people. Ministering to people. Caring for people. Loving souls. You can get so intimidated that you kill the work that God's trying to produce. Not because you want to or because you feel it's the thing to do, but because of your Pentecostal pride. You're afraid of what your brothers are going to say. You're afraid of what somebody in the community is going to say. But you need to write it down. God called you to preach to cripples. Folks that can't stand up. Folks that can't walk yet. Folks that can't leap in the temple yet. Folks that can't praise God yet. And folks that don't know how to hold the ministry yet. But it can be very discouraging when all you got out there is cripples. And if you put them all together, they might make one saint. Take the good out of all of them. And merge it all together. And you might have one acceptable Pentecostal saint of God. But you are not in an established church. You're not in your old home church. You're on the cutting edge of revival, ministering to cripples. And some folks say, well, bless God, if they don't line up, I don't want them here. I'm not talking about years and years. I'm just talking about, well, I might be talking about years and years. Somebody said, I don't want my church filled with folks that are not going to live for God. You know what? They sure ain't going to get saved down at the bar. They sure are not going to get saved at the football game on Friday night. The only hope of salvation they have is that there's a pastor who will say, I know you're crippled, but I'm going to carry you because I believe one day a miracle is going to come. And I'm going to carry my cripples until the miracle comes. My Lord. We're dragging deep here all of a sudden. I thought we were just going to inspire a little bit tonight, but I'm hitting bumps here. This is what's going to make the difference in whether you're able to stay or whether you pack up and leave. If you're not willing to carry cripples, you might as well pack your duds now. Because you're not going to have a church in 3 months, 6 months, or 1 year. It takes a long time to build a real apostolic church. You may get a crowd, but there's a difference in a crowd and a church. You're going to have cripples in that audience. But if you love them, you'll carry them until the miracle comes. Hallelujah. The hero in Acts chapter 3 to me is the unnamed they. We preach about the power of the name. We preach about the apostles. But the Bible said they. I don't know who they were. The Bible just said they carried him daily. Is there a small boy in this audience? That little boy over there, he looks like he'd be about the right size that I could handle. This little boy right here, would you help me preach this a little bit? Stay where you are, okay? Will you help me? I won't hurt you. I'll give you some money after church. Brother Foster, come be with me, because it didn't say he, it said they. Every time these guys got ready to go to the temple, they knew what a part of that job was. They had to go find him. And daily, they carried... Can we get in here, please? Him to the temple. You're not getting any lighter, buddy. That's what they said, no doubt. You're not getting any lighter. Every day. Go back. Are you ready to go to church? Let's go to the temple. Oh, we got a lame man over here.
All right, buddy, let's go.
Every day. Every day. Pastor, don't preach to your folks to get in bus ministry if your car's empty when you come to church. Every day, they carried him. What's your name?
Aaron,
let's move you closer to the church. You just move right there. Aaron, just move closer to the temple. Every day. Every day. Daily. They brought him to the temple. Here's what I got excited about. They brought him in spite of the fact that he wasn't going for the right reason. He wasn't going to worship. He wasn't going to be in the sacrifices. He wasn't going to be in the temple. He was only going to get a handout. Some of you are trying to be real spiritual.
I ain't running no buses. Them dirty-nosed kids are just coming because their parents wants to have a free daycare. We ain't going to have no dinners at our church after service. All they come for is to eat. They ain't interested. Try to get some kind of prize or something. They just coming to see the boys. Just coming to see the girls. No use in us going after him, but daily. I know you're not coming to praise God with us. I know you're not coming to put anything in the plate. But we're going to bring you anyhow. We're going to take you anyway. Said, if children pay tithes, we'd all have bus ministries. The first thing you're going to have to do to have a revival is get your eyes off money. They're not coming to give to you. They're not coming to help you. God sent you there to give to them. God sent you there to help them. Now, I really respect they. Because not only was Gary, what, Aaron? Not only was Aaron coming for the wrong reason. Oh. Aaron was facing an impossibility. Every day they carried him. They could have said, I don't know why we're doing this, because when we get Aaron there, the law forbid it any cripple from coming into the temple. And they said, we can't get him in the temple, but we'll take him to the gate. We'll get him, Brother Goddard, as close as we can get him. We'll carry him and we'll put him just as close to the miracle as we could put him. And they knew they couldn't do it. And they knew he could get there, but he couldn't get in. They carried him anyway. And every day they laid him at the gate, knowing we can never put him in. Whew. Now you're going to face, Aaron, you can take a break. You can too, Brother Foster. You're going to face circumstances that the devil's going to tell you, you might as well leave them alone. You'll never get them in the church. I got a message for you. God didn't call us to put them in the church. He told us to carry them to the gate. Get them as close as we can. Do all that we can. And then just keep preaching.
And then just keep praying. And then just keep loving. And one day he's going to walk home after you carried him to church. My Lord. You might as well settle it right now. God didn't call you to save your city. God didn't call you to build a church. Because Bible salvation is a miracle, we said. All you can do is bring people to church. It takes God to put them in the church. For the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. Your job is to get them to the gate. And if you'll get them as close as you can get them, I know everything I'm doing may not be just real holy and may not be real spiritual. What are you talking about? I mean, it may not be real holy to give somebody a hot dog for coming to church. But all I'm doing is trying to get them to the gate. If I could just get them to the gate, that's all I can do. And then God can put them in the temple. I feel the Holy Ghost here. You see, there's something else you need to quickly understand. Then I'm going to close out here very briefly. Don't pay any attention to sinners. Because they've got the foggiest idea of what they really need. They don't have a clue as to what they really need. Neither did this lame man. The lame man was screaming for alms. Now, the last time I said this, my wife rebuked me after church. So these tapes won't go all the way to North Carolina, will they? And you people will know I'm not mean, okay? But see, he was crying for alms. He didn't need arms. He needed legs. Now, my wife will rebuke me for telling that cold, heartless story if she gets the tape. He was screaming, "Arms! Arms! Arms!" That's what he wanted. He didn't need arms. He needed legs. God hadn't called you to your city to give the city what they want. God called you to give them what they need. And what do they need? They need to repent. They need to be baptized in Jesus' name. They need the gift of the Holy Ghost. Don't try to give them what they want. Give them what they need. Well, think we ought to go to church today?
Let's go.
To the temple?
Yes.
Up. We've got to get Aaron.
Let's go get Aaron.
Here recently I read that verse of Scripture that we have preached so much on Sunday morning. And I will admit, I've been so narrow-minded about that verse until God showed me something. You was talking about that Bible, how rich it is. I'd only use this verse in one connotation. I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me. Sing that on Sunday morning. Everybody sings it. Appreciating the house of God, right? We only use that verse to commend church attendance. But I think David was honoring somebody else. The unnamed hero. David said, I was glad. Somebody came by where David was. We get glad when we get there. David got glad when he got invited. I was glad when they said, Aaron, we're going to the temple. You don't have a way to get there. This man will never get to the temple by himself. Sinners in your city will not come. They got to be brought. The cripples can't get there. The sinner can't get there. Somebody's got to go get on. We're going to go to church. That's the reason missionaries come to camp meeting. All week. Carrying cripples. Carrying cripples. I don't know when it is, Aaron, but one day we're going to take you to church. One day we're going to carry you to church. And when church is over, we're not going to have to carry you home. Because Peter said, silver and gold, Aaron, have I none. But such as I have, in the name of Jesus Christ, arise and walk. And the Bible said he took him by the right hand. Lift it. I don't pull your arm out of joint. Stand up, my boy. He stood up. I said, folks that you think have been crooked and crippled will one day stand in your congregation. Folks that hadn't been able to walk will start walking. Folks that hadn't been able to praise God will start praising God. Folks that haven't loved the ministry, folks that haven't appreciated the ministry, will hold. Will hold the ministry because somebody carried them until the miracle came. Let's stand. Don't be discouraged.
Don't give up. Just keep carrying them. Just keep carrying them. Just keep carrying them. One day, choir's going to sing the right song. One day, the preacher's going to preach the right message. One day, the Spirit's going to move in that person's unique, specified need. You may be embarrassed by them until then. You may be ashamed of them until then. You may be intimidated by some of your brethren. But just keep on caring. Because one day they may come by and say to you, visiting minister, my, who's that singing the lead in the choir? You see how my shoulders are stooped over? It's from carrying him. Everybody loves David's gallant, brave, courageous men. They're called David's mighty men. But the Bible describes them a little different. They were men that were in debt. They were men that were in distress. They were men that were discontent. But they met the king in the cave. And they became mighty men. Don't travel the country and slobber over somebody else's saints. Don't sit out there and let your mouth water over this choir and say, "Boy, I wish I could get some like that." Your city's full of them. Because this choir didn't walk through the door like you see them tonight. Somebody carried them. Aaron, I know this ain't what you need. Best I can do. I can't take that lust out of your heart. I can't take those cigarettes out of your fingers. I can't get that bottle out of your hand. But I'm going to bring you to the gate. And I'm going to believe that one day the miracle will happen. I hadn't been in Raleigh long until one of my new converts, Brother Foster would know him, he's a great big man. His name is Ricky Biggerstaff. Ricky prayed through. He'd been a drunkard and a rebel rouser. Shortly after he prayed through, he got discouraged or something. 6 months, 9 months after coming into the church, I got a phone call one night. He said, "Brother Huntley, I hate to tell you, but Ricky's in a tavern down on Hillsborough Street across from the university. And Brother Huntley, he's drunk." It broke my heart. I said, "What's the name of the tavern?" They told me. I drove down to Hillsborough Street to locate the place. I've never seen it before. I don't look for taverns. Parked my car. No way I'd go in there. Not even after him. You do what you want to do. I don't believe in that myself. I'm not going in no tavern. Because some of my saints might drive by when I walk out. And I have a hard time explaining why I was in that tavern. So I saw a couple thugs going in there. And I whistled them down and waved at them. I said, "Hey, come here." I said, "There's a big guy in there. His name's Ricky. When you step in the door, just holler, 'Ricky, your pastor's outside. He said for you to come out.'" In a few minutes, the door of that tavern opened. That big old man came walking out, tears streaming down his face. I met him in the street and I said, "Ricky, get in the car. You're going home." He said, with tears, "Yes, sir." Got him in the car. Smelled awful, looked awful. He wouldn't even look at me. He was so ashamed. I said, "Ricky, you made a mistake. But I love you. I love you. And it's going to be all right. Jesus is going to forgive you. And everything's going to be all right." That was about 14 years ago. He's never done it since. He's still in the church. And from time to time, just to bless a visiting minister, I'll do it. Next time you come preach for me, watch this. I'll have him do it. You see if it don't happen. I'll say, "I think we're going to have a testimony right now. Ricky," he's one of the big ushers back there. I said, "Brother Ricky, I want you to testify." He'll square his shoulders, straighten his tie, and he'll step out like he's going to really give an oration. And then he just starts crying. And he never says a word. He never says a word. Never says a word. God called you to reach cripples. And you're going to have to carry them until the miracle comes.